Hey, welcome to What's the Tea, the TransLink podcast. I'm your host, John Jang. Here's what's coming up on this episode.
Move it! I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to move it.
How is TransLink speeding up the humble bus? Let's tap in to What's the Tea.
The next station is...
Welcome to What's the Tea, the TransLink podcast.
The TransLink fleet is big. It seems obvious, right? But let's do the math here. We have 5 West Coast Express trains with about 8 cars each. And then there's the 4 C buses in our fleet. And we have well over 300 different SkyTrain cars, ranging from, of course, the Mark 1 to the Mark 2 and the Mark 3s. But even if you added up all of those vehicles that I just mentioned, it pales in comparison to our bus fleet, with over 1,600 buses serving Metro Vancouver on a cross over 200 routes. Basically, if this were the Avengers, the bus would pretty much be the Hulk because of its sheer size. Its strength is acting as the workhorse of the TransLink system. But instead of a Hulk smash, it's more of a...
Hey, Vancouver. Here's a tip to make your transit ride even more awesome.
Yeah, one of those. But all of this highlights how important it is for us to make sure that buses are running as efficiently as possible. After all, if our buses were just stuck in traffic all the time, it really wouldn't matter if we added another 1,600 buses to the fleet, because customers like yourself would just be waiting and waiting and waiting. Nobody likes that. But there are very clever ways for us to ensure that your bus is arriving on time, and ideally even ahead of schedule. Some tips and tricks are more noticeable than others, but they all work together as something that we like to call bus priority measures. So to that end, let's quickly debunk one of the most common misconceptions about bus lanes and why they seem to be empty during rush hour.
Have you noticed the new bus lanes rolling out? We're building these where they'll make the busiest bus routes faster and more predictable, making it easier to plan your day. Sometimes these bus lanes may appear empty, but in fact, those lanes are working hard. They can move more people than a regular traffic lane. A typical car carries 1 or 2 people, but that bus, it may have 50 people on board. Bus lanes are a more efficient use of the road, especially when they help buses move faster. And when buses are faster, we can run them more frequently. Over time, improvements like these can make transit a more attractive choice than driving, reducing the need for more vehicles on the road and helping us get the most from limited road space. So next time you see an empty bus lane, remember, it's more than just a bus lane. It's a path to more efficient, reliable, and affordable transportation. And with more bus lanes on the way, we're just getting started. To learn more, visit translink.ca/bus priority.
Now, to help explain this further, we're bringing in the expert.
So I'm the manager of bus priority planning and monitoring. And so what that means is that I work on creating the policies and ultimately the projects that help buses move faster and more reliably on streets throughout the region, throughout Metro Vancouver.
This is David Cooperman, one of the many great planners working at TransLink. So he's naturally suited to answer the question, what is the empty bus lane myth?
So I guess it's when people are looking at how vehicles are moving on a street, right? You see how empty or full the street is, and you might see that there's a bus lane that's marked, but there seems to be nobody in it. There are no buses. People might wonder, why is this a bus lane if there are no buses around?
Interesting, because I think I have a real life example of this. I've lived predominantly in the city of Vancouver for the past like 10 years, most recently moved, but regardless, West Georgia, a very busy street, one of the busiest arteries within downtown Vancouver for people trying to get to and from the North Shore. If you just need to cut through the downtown area, we know that there are bus lanes on both sides of West Georgia. And I feel like this is a hotbed of activity sometimes because people look over, and if you're stuck in afternoon rush hour, it's so tempting to be like, oh, if I just slip into this bus lane that seems to be empty, I can skip all these cars. But why is it not allowed and not permitted, not a good idea for cars to be using a bus lane, even if it looks to be empty?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And certainly if you're looking at any given moment and you see this empty bus lane, you might wonder that. But also think about the fact that a bus can carry basically the equivalent of, let's say, 30 cars of people. So we're trying to move people efficiently on streets. And so how do you do that? By making the best use of the space that you have available. And so, you know, you might glance in 1 minute, 1 second, you look out there and there's no bus in the bus lane. But the fact is that there are actually many buses moving there every few minutes, every hour, and moving a whole lot of people when they do that. So ultimately, it is a more efficient use of space on the street. And so where we have bus lanes and where we have frequent service, that means, you know, buses every few minutes, they're actually helping to make that lane, that street, operate a lot more efficiently.
Is there some truth to the notion that as you're sitting behind the wheel of your car, you're stuck in traffic, you look over, you see a bus by drive by you in the bus lane, and maybe an idea gets planted in the back of your mind saying, that could be me. I could be on that bus right now instead of having to deal with this bumper to bumper traffic that's not going to get any better for the next 40 minutes or however long it's going to take you. So just the pure visual of that bus driving by, it can be pretty convincing enough on its own.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea, right? Where you have bus lanes, where you're really improving that public transit experience, you're making it a more comfortable ride for everyone taking it. And the better you make public transit, the more people will ride it and the more buses we can actually put on that street in that bus lane or otherwise. And that means we're moving more people more efficiently. We're also creating more space on the street for many different types of vehicles, for people to get around many different ways.
You mentioned the colored bus lanes that some, we have a few of those in Metro Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken. I believe there are portions of West Georgia, for example, that's red to give you the visual sign that, hey, maybe I should not be driving here in my car right now. But also to your point, signage. So it seems like there's a mix sometimes of the tactics you're trying to roll out in order to really let people know these are dedicated bus lanes. So it's signs, lines. What other tactics are you trying to come up with or that have worked in the past to maybe just let people know that these are bus lanes and they're supposed to stay empty only for buses to go through when they can?
Right. So you mentioned it. Lines and signs is the term that we like to use for these types of projects, right? We're basically, you know, we're not, these are engineered solutions, but they're pretty simple in terms of if we've decided that we want to implement a bus lane, that it makes sense on a particular street, basically it is lines and signs. We go out there, we can paint some lines on the street, we can hang up some signs, and they basically tell people this is a bus lane. Or, you know, we can paint the lane red or parts of it red, and that's also a clear signal. It's really important to be very clear who that lane is for, because there's a close cousin, I guess I would call it, of the bus lane called a high occupancy vehicle lane, right. HOV lane, so, or a carpool lane in simple terms. So what that does is it allows vehicles with higher occupancy, so it can be signed and marked, so it's, you know, two or more people per vehicle or three or more people per vehicle. And basically that also can help to improve the efficient movement of people on a street. It doesn't provide exactly the same level of priority though as a reserved bus lane. So generally when you see those signs or the pavement markings and the text on the pavement, it might say bus only. That'll make it very clear that it's for buses only, obviously nobody else. On the sign as well, at the bottom of the sign, it might have a bus only tab. And that means this isn't an HOV lane, it's a bus only lane, and very clearly marked that way. So that's a very important part of the whole project and the whole setup as well.
It makes a lot of sense. And obviously, you know, when we think about bus lanes in general, we have to remember too, these are not magic bullets. They're not going to solve congestion entirely. They're not going to get you instantly to where you need to go, but it's part of a greater strategy with what you mentioned, bus priority measures. I lived on Robson Street, and I noticed that at Robson and Burrard, as you're turning from Burrard onto Robson, there's a bus stop there, but it's positioned now in a way where the stop comes all the way out and it meets the bus with where it is, instead of the bus having to then turn into the stop and lose its place in where it would be in traffic. What is that called, and why is that a solution to helping with some of the congestion issues?
Sure. So we call those a few different things, but most often bus bulbs. Mm-hmm. So a bus bulb is a curb extension, which is exactly what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? So the curb is extended out, so it goes right to where the bus is moving. And what this does is it saves buses time, so they don't have to pull in and out of traffic mm-hmm. to serve the stops, right? So you can have a bus bay, for example, where the bus pulls out of traffic to serve the stop at the curb, then it pulls back into traffic. Mm-hmm. So all of that time pulling in and out causes a delay to the bus and impacts the service. So the idea with bus bulbs is that the bus is not moving in and out of traffic all the time. That's saving it time. That's helping it operate more reliably.
Mm. And maybe just an unintended benefit is that it's creating more space for customers to wait as they're waiting for the bus to arrive. And maybe that's also something to keep in mind for like accessibility reasons. You might have more benefit there too. So I thought that was kind of neat. And just my observances living on Robson Street, it's made it more attractive to just get on the bus now, because I suppose Robson it's single lane traffic all the way down up until you get to Denman. So I've noticed sometimes that cars won't even let other parked cars that are trying to squeeze back into traffic. Like, people don't want to lose their spot in line. So mm-hmm. a big 40-foot bus, sometimes I can see someone having a real dilemma, be like, do I be a good person and actually let this bus through? It's technically the law. Or do I want to keep my spot in line and let the person behind me deal with it, right?
So, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it is the law. You do have to yield to buses. Yeah. When they're pulling in and out of stops at these places. And like you said, also, it creates more space for pedestrians. Mm-hmm. It could create space for in front of stores, for kind of retail areas. And that's where these are the most popular, these bus bulbs. And essentially, you're using this curb extension, by creating a bus bulb, you're mm-hmm. also effectively widening the sidewalk, right? Because you have the bus passengers, giving them another area to wait in. They're not in the way of pedestrians. They're not blocking the sidewalk. So, we don't have a lot of space, we don't have a lot of money, but right. here's kind of an easy way to effectively widen the sidewalk.
We're in conversation with David Cooperman, Manager of Bus Priority Planning and Monitoring at TransLink, learning more about how TransLink is speeding up the humble bus. We'll be right back with more on What's the Tea, the TransLink podcast.
We've become all too familiar with problems. It's time we're introduced to some solutions. The Transit-Friendly Employer Certification exists to support and promote transit use, one of the easiest, most effective actions we can take to address climate action and livability. Organizations that provide a 50% transit subsidy will receive this certification. The time to act is now. Become a transit-friendly employer today.
Welcome back to What's the Tea, the TransLink podcast. My name's John Jang, and we've learned all about how bus lanes work and why they're designed to stay clear and seemingly empty during that busy morning or afternoon rush hour. But the bus lane is just one of many tactics that are available at our disposal to try and help speed up buses and their performance. With that in mind, what are some of the others?
We do have other tools that we use, other bus priority measures, and often they're used in combination. Mm-hmm. So one project, one route may actually make use of many of them. So bus lanes are one example. Another tool that we can use that perhaps we'll be using more of in the future is transit signal priority, mm-hmm. TSP. So this means that we're changing signal timing to give more green time to buses. Mm. That helps them get through intersections, that can help them bypass some traffic, that can help result in more reliable service. And that can be at isolated intersections, or it can be at many intersections along a route or a corridor. Additionally, things like queue jumps. So queue jump is really a very short bus lane at an intersection, and it really just helps those buses get past congestion. So they pull ahead of traffic. They may also be aided by a signal. So there may be a traffic light there, TSP, that helps them, or a bus-only signal that helps them get to the other side of the intersection to serve the stop. And so queue jumps are also very useful, and they can be implemented at select intersections. Mm-hmm. Like, there may be just a few very congested intersections on a route where a queue jump is helpful. You may not really need it or have the space for it at other intersections. Another one is bus stop location or bus stop consolidation. or bus stop balancing, as we also call it. So that means really going through and looking at the locations of all the bus stops on a route and thinking, where are they actually most useful, these bus stops? Where are they most needed? And maybe there's an opportunity to consolidate some of those stops. And if you're able to do that successfully, it means fewer stops on everyone's journey.
Right.
It may mean in a few cases that people have to walk a little bit farther to get to their nearest stop. But if you take into account that their journey will be faster once they're on the bus, it actually could work very well. And then we're often working with our local government partners on how we're using those lanes for other things, right? Because there's parking that happens during certain periods of the day, right? And there's other times traffic moving through those lanes. And so we work with our local government partners on those things, on parking and traffic regulations. When do we want to use a lane for movement, and is that for all traffic? Do we create a bus lane? And when is there really not a need for that and we can keep it for parking for part of the day? So we consider all those things. All of those are different tools that we can use, different forms of bus priority measures. We can restrict turns at some intersections if that also helps the flow. So we do all of those different things.
I have two thoughts listening to you say all that. One, it must feel really good as a bus driver when you're in like afternoon traffic and you just get to breeze by everyone. You feel like a king or a queen just owning the road because you got nothing but freedom when you're in a bus lane. It must feel really cool. Number two, when you implement these bus priority measures successfully, not only do customers get the benefit by having a more efficient service, David, but we as an organization get the benefits because it wasn't that long ago we introduced and created a brand new bus route by using savings that came from successful bus priority measures that reduced operational cost for Coast Mountain Bus Company. So we were able to create a brand new bus route out of that, and that route is now Route 80. So I think that's really cool too. Not everyone might see the bigger picture. When we get these things done, we might be able to create some really new, cool, new features for you with the savings that we get out of all this.
And that's a very good point too, right? So we talk about customer experience a lot. Mm-hmm. We talk about the fact that we're improving journeys for bus riders, but it is more than that, right? I think everyone knows that there is a very high cost to the delay, to the traffic congestion that we experience in Metro Vancouver every year. We're adding millions of dollars in operating costs to deal with that. And part of what we're trying to do with these bus priority measures is sort of chip away at that cost and reduce it, right? And so we are able to bring in operational cost savings if we can make the buses move faster and more efficiently. And what can we use those savings for? Well, as you mentioned, we can actually create a new route with the operating cost savings that we achieve. Other things we can do are improve frequency, for example. So, maybe with some of those cost savings, we can actually provide more buses, provide more frequency on a route. And I think that's always appreciated. So we can then use those buses either on the same route or on another one if we're able to create a new one.
And the beauty of what we're talking about here today, David, is that it's not brand new stuff. Like a lot of this stuff has had previous successes in Metro Vancouver. I mean, we can talk about our line of rapid buses. Rapid buses are designed with a lot of these bus priority measures already in place. As we take a look into the future, TransLink, one of the things we want to deliver to Metro Vancouver is bus rapid transit. And taking those bus priority measures even one step ahead, one step further, and implementing protected bus lanes so that we can make sure that customers are being able to rely on that efficient service as much as possible.
If you look at existing routes, you mentioned rapid bus, right? We have many rapid bus routes at this point. The R6 Scott Road rapid bus route is the newest of those. Yeah. It is the latest. Yeah. And that's a good one to look at if you're trying to understand how could bus rapid transit or BRT really change things in this region and change streets. So that's a good example where a lot of features have been incorporated in this sort of bus priority or on the way to bus rapid transit. And so there's a good part of that route, 38% actually, is a bus priority lane. So buses have a lot of space dedicated mostly to them there, and that's where they operate really efficiently and they operate very well. Certainly there are other features there as well. There are queue jumps, for example, There are changes to parking and traffic regulations, changes to signal timing. And so all of these things can improve the experience of bus riders, can improve the efficiency with which streets operate and buses move. And you see many examples on Scott Road of that, right, on the R6 route. But yeah, we hope to be doing more of all of those in other places as well.
Last question, mm-hmm. You know, the one takeaway that you really want people to leave this conversation with when it comes to bus lanes or bus priority measures in general, if there's one thing that you would like them to share with friends and family over the dinner table, what would be that one message you want them to take away from all this?
Mm-hmm. I think probably the most important message is that it's important to experience what we're doing with these bus priority measures. I think it's, you know, as I think you said at the beginning of this conversation, it's not always clear when you just glance at what's happening on a street, mm-hmm. what's really going on. You might get a picture in your mind that no one is moving anywhere because there seems to be an empty lane, right? Or the cars aren't moving, or the street just doesn't work. When you really zoom in, you experience it, you ride that bus in a bus lane, you really look at the numbers and you realize that, you know, actually this is working better than it did before. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a point to doing all of this. And it's not, again, one size fits all solution. Bus lanes are great, but as mentioned, we do other things too, and mm-hmm. they're appropriate in different places. I think just trying to get that understanding of what's actually, you know, what the experience is like, what's actually happening on the street. It's not always obvious from right. that snapshot, right? Trying to understand it a bit more deeply. I think that's really important. And hopefully if people are able to do that, mm-hmm. Then, you know, they can understand, they can support yeah. these types of projects. They can get on board those buses, right? And they can experience the better service we're able to provide.
When I was young, my Saturday morning cartoons might have included a rerun of The Jetsons, a classic, and their promise of a future with talking robots, consumer-grade jetpacks, and flying cars. Now, alas, the hard reality is that in 2025, we're not there just yet. So, until those flying cars and presumably flying buses become a reality, TransLink and other transit agencies around the world employ bus priority measures to speed up the bus to get you from point A to point B faster and more reliably. And the best part is, as technology improves and as new practices are discovered, these methods can change and become even more innovative. The tactics that we use today could look drastically different to what we can do eventually down the road, and the promise of a future with buses that'll make you feel like you're using a jetpack anyway. So, my thanks to David Cooperman and the entire bus priority planning team at TransLink. A lot of their work is done behind the scenes, but they play a key role in making sure that your next bus trip is that much more reliable and, of course, on time. Now, my thanks to producer Alan and producer Sydney for their reliability every single day working on this podcast and keeping us on time. And of course, my thanks to you for listening and subscribing. I've been your host, John Jang, and until next time, have a safe trip.
It's time for another TransLink etiquette moment. Things you should and should not do while taking transit.
Etiquette tip number 33. Don't be a blocking bunny. Give your fellow transit riders a clear path to disembark the bus or SkyTrain. Don't block those doors or aisles. It'll just make things harder for everyone.
Visit translink.ca/etiquette for more.